Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, a Tuesday edition. Thanks very much for tuning in. A little bit later in the second half of the program, we'll talk to Allstate agent Kevin Grady. You know, here we are in the Allstate Showcase studio, and they were out with their small business barometer not too long ago. Small businesses are liking what they're seeing, pretty optimistic these days. So we'll catch up with Kevin and talk about the barometer in the second half hour. Andrew Herman will be here as well in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about an institution up in Lincoln Square, a drugstore, a pharmacy that is closing after 70 years. The business has changed quite a lot since the store opened 70 years ago. So we'll talk to Andrew then. But right now we say hello to John Najarian from CNBC. John is watching Wall Street for us as he does most Tuesdays. John, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Well, great to be with you, Steve. Thank you.
All right, so where do we start? I mean, Amazon hitting 1,000. I think I see oil is down. The airline stock's having some trouble today. Dow down about 30 points. What do you want to start with there, boss?
Well, I think starting with Amazon's probably a good idea because, you know, that stock finally eclipsing 1,000 for the first time, that's pretty big. And we were just on with Leon Cooperman of Omega Advisors. Very successful hedge fund manager. And he said it's one of the stocks that he loves, but he just can't get around the price. And some of the business, as good as it is, he likes the business, what it delivers, more than the stock, which scares him a little.
Because in fact, we're going to talk about this drugstore up on the north side and a guy who used to be an independent pharmacist. Of course, he was pushed by Walgreens and CVS, and he said the idea of Amazon getting into pharmaceutical or drug delivery, prescription delivery, should scare even Walgreens boots and all of them.
Yeah, and obviously they already have various tentacles, if you will, Stephen, into the delivery of not necessarily drugs, but the over-the-counter medications already just loaded on Amazon and a direct link into GNC from there. So the next step for them to go into drug delivery and so forth, pharmaceuticals, not surprising to see them do it, especially given the margins that there are in that business.
All right, so President Trump has been tweeting today on a couple of topics that are relevant to our conversations. First, he talked, sort of continued, responded maybe to Angela Merkel and her comments over the weekend, but talking about the trade deficit. We have a massive trade deficit with Germany, plus they pay far less than they should on NATO and military. Very bad for U.S. This will change. And he's right, right? The United States, I think, pays, is it 3.6 GDP toward NATO, and Germany is short of the 2%. But I just wonder, from a business point of view, how all of this plays out.
I don't think from a business standpoint it's going to play out negatively for either for the United States or Germany. But they're trying to get, the Trump team are trying to get Germany to honor its obligations as far as funding of NATO. I mean, since they are the biggest economy in Europe, they do have the most to lose if something bad happened in Europe. And something bad might be something coming from, of course, Russia, given the flybys and the ships that are constantly in the channel between Great Britain and France right now. So obviously this is in their best interest to make sure this is a robust alliance. And he's saying, you know, hey, we think you guys need to carry more of your weight. I think it was a recognition by Angela Merkel in the comments that were out yesterday of her saying, we realize that we're going to have to count on ourselves more and not rely as heavily on America. And I think that's a recognition of what she and Mr. Trump discussed.
Oh, you know, that's interesting because I read those comments as her saying that we don't have as strong a supporter in the U.S. as we used to. But it sounds as if you just said that you heard them saying, yeah, we got to pick up and carry our load.
That's the way I picked it up. Oh. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong to interpret it the other way. I'm just saying, given that they are falling short of their obligation and have done so for decades now, if you really want to keep the European Union together, and as Mr. Trump even posited, if you want to use some of your defenses to go after ISIS and some of the terror organizations that have targeted Europe in particular, then you really need to fully fund these defenses so that you have a more robust response. And I think that's not just to Russia, but to some of the terror threats that they've had to deal with lately.
It seems like he has a winning argument. He just didn't make the case in the right place or in the correct way in the place that he was when he was at that Article 5 commemoration.
Yeah, well, and doesn't that sound exactly like textbook Trump for that, Stephen?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He is a bull in a china shop. He is a guy that usually wants to negotiate through his lawyers and things like that. He's not the velvet glove. He is the, that bull in a china shop. And so the fact that he would be a little rougher or coarse with some of those dealings, it doesn't surprise me.
The other tweet then came later this morning where he had said the Senate should change its rules and switch to 51 votes to allow for passage of legislation. He says that would get health care and tax cuts approved fast and easy. Dems would do it, no doubt. And I bring that up because there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, by Richard Rubin saying that the tax overhaul could be in real jeopardy.
Yeah, I would say right now, and again, this is another topic we were just hitting on the show, I would say that we're probably at about 20 or 25% chance of seeing any movement on that subject, or even, for that matter, some of the Dodd-Frank issues this year. I think a lot of it is getting pushed off to next year. And you know, the rest of us came back from work, Stephen, and we're back here working after a Memorial Day observation yesterday. Congress doesn't come back for another week. So, or
well, they get tired out more easily. They get really tired, John. They need more
exactly.
of a break.
So, I mean, you know, it's and they take the entire summer off and so forth. So I think it's not surprising that if we can't get some legislation moving, that it's unlikely to move this year and it pushes it off to next year.
And yet the stock markets keep chugging along. What are you looking at today?
Well, let's see. We were trading CSX, a big, you know, the gentleman right now that runs United Airlines, Mr. Munoz, was over. He came from CSX, and it's a big logistics and rail delivery. And we see unusual activity percolating in that name, perhaps boding well into the holiday shopping season that for shoppers, that's, you know, Black Friday. But for the retailers, they've got to start ordering in the next couple weeks to start getting those shipments from China and overseas coming our way in August.
So Christmas delivery is a little bit early.
Yep, it could be. And it could be that that stock is a little Christmas in July kind of stock, too. That's what we're hoping.
John and Jaron, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Andrew Herman is here, editor at DNA Info Chicago. Andrew, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, Steve.
Andrew comes by to talk about openings and closings in the city, looking at sometimes neighborhood businesses, sometimes downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I think the stories you brought in today kind of fit what we do perfectly.
Good.
I don't know where to start. Maybe we should start. Let's start sweet.
All right.
Nutella, and this is the first ever in the world Nutella-owned Nutella Cafe.
Yeah, right. And it opens tomorrow at 151 North Michigan, so it must be about right across the street from Millennium Park.
That's right, almost right across the street from your office, right?
Yeah,
is it
going right.
to be a lunch spot?
So if you don't know what Nutella is, it's a paste made of hazelnuts, sugar, and cocoa, which sounds disgusting, but millions of people around the world gobble it up every day.
It's like chocolate peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it tastes like.
It was designed or developed in Italy in the 1940s during World War II, and they were trying to stretch out cocoa. Basically, they were running out of chocolate, and so they tried to figure out a way to do it. And at first, it was sliced from a loaf, and then nobody liked that. And then they turned it into this paste, and it's a global phenomenon, and they sell it in the United States maybe for the last 20 years or so.
Yeah,
and,
well, it's got to be good
have a cafe.
If they can sell it as a paste. Right, if you say, here, buy my paste, because I mean, it's delicious. It's
yeah.
all over Europe.
It's kind of like peanut butter in a way.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
It's got that same kind of consistency, but the cafe is going to sell like baguettes and a Nutella yogurt, a fruit salad with it, also some sandwiches without Nutella
stuff. Yeah.
But that's going to be the main theme of this place.
Okay, I think I've talked with others then, if not you, about that stretch of Michigan Avenue and how it's kind of maybe becoming the next spot, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at how Millennium Park draws people.
Sure.
At any given moment of the day.
This is north of Randolph, right? Yeah, this is up at Lake. So it's that, there's kind of that dead zone.
Yeah.
It's like Channel 32 and nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's because Michigan Avenue is so wide there.
Yeah. You know? Oh, sure.
And it's kind of scary, but you gotta get in that area to go to Millennium Park and, you know, you can get a Nutella sandwich.
Well, I look forward to my Nutella baguette next time you come by, maybe next week. Maybe a week or two. We'll see. Okay. So there's that kind of fun, sweet story downtown. Mm-hmm. And then there's this, I don't know if it's a bittersweet story or what it is, but it's really a wonderful story of this guy, Alvin Klein, who has run the Becker Pharmacy in Lincoln Square since the 70s. Mm-hmm. The pharmacy's been open for 70 years, and it's time has passed.
Right, so it's at 4744 Northwestern in the Lincoln Square neighborhood, and he filled his last prescription on Friday. And he, like you say, he's 81 years old. But it was kind of an interesting story in that part of the business he's been able to sell. The pharmaceutical part, the dispersing of drugs, not such a good business for an independent pharmacist, at least in his case. What he calls sick room supplies, like traction equipment and colostomy bags, and it says on his website, catheters, canes, and crutches.
He's a funny guy because his name is Klein. He bought the shop from Becker, who opened it, it would have to be in the 20s, I guess, 30s.
Yeah, right.
And so someone asked him, he never changed the name to Klein's.
He says, I don't have that big of an ego. But of course, if you have a successful business and
you don't want to change
it,
you don't
change it. But, it is pretty challenging times for independent pharmacies these days, though I was surprised to learn that they still fill 40% of all prescriptions in the United States.
Independent pharmacies, no kidding.
Because they are still very popular in towns of less than 20,000.
Okay.
And so you're sort of outside the influence of a Walgreens or a CVS if you're living in a small town and in a rural area, and that's who you go to the pharmacist to get your drugs. It's the local guy.
Which is certainly not the case in Lincoln Square.
No.
And he came from Walgreens, right? He was working at a Walgreens in the 70s and decided to buy this place.
Right, and now he's sold all his prescriptions back to Walgreens. But it's funny, the independent guys say their competition is, yes, these chain places, but they have bigger problems with insurance companies that direct the customers to the chain.
Because the insurance companies cut the deals with the chains, right?
Yes, they have these guys, pharmacy benefit managers, who they call them PBMs, and boy, the pharmacists really are mad at those guys.
Well, so Mr. Klein is, he's in his 80s, I think, right?
Yes, and of course, after when you're 80, 81 like he is, you really don't know what you're going to do next.
Right. I love those. Someone said, well, how many people come in and call you Mr. Becker? And he said, all of them.
Right. After a while, you just suck it up and say, okay, I'll go by the wrong name.
Have you looked at his webpage? I know there's some description of the webpage, but it said something on there like, look, we tried greeting cards. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, right. Well, on the DNA Info website, you look at the pictures of him, and he looks like something out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
He looks just what you would think an independent pharmacist who's 80 years old looks like.
Becker Professional Pharmacy, after more than 70 years in Lincoln Square. A great success. The man is 80. I hope he's able to go out and celebrate his success.
Well, he managed to sell half his business, so I think he'll be all right.
All right. Now, Andrew Herman, thanks for coming by today. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Read more at dnainfo.com.
/Chicago.
/Chicago. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. We'll get a barometer of small businesses in the country. The Allstate Small Business Barometer, in fact, was out not too long ago. We'll talk to an agent coming up a little bit later in the program. Right now, Suzanne Muchen is in the studio. She is the co-host of The Big Payoff at WGNradio.com. And she's been eating out of a bag of Funyuns. I don't know what that means.
I brought some munchy snacks for us.
Yeah, so what's this, women in marijuana? Women in grass?
It's an amazing thing. So as you know, medical cannabis, you know, that's the technical term, Steve.
Yeah, right.
If you're really in the business.
That's not really the technical, because they're also talking about the recreational and
different, right? Two different things. There's medical marijuana, and then there's recreational.
Sure.
But because the laws are changing so quickly, a lot of people are starting to develop businesses, as they should, based on the opportunity that's there now because the laws have changed. So what this story, which I just love, and I especially love it because they refer to older women, meaning women in their 50s
or more,
and 60s,
right,
which gave me a little heart pang, but that older women who have had other careers are developing derivative businesses that support and help medical marijuana. And the one I love the most is this business that is called Anabis, which what this woman found, her name is Jeannie Moss, that she was using medical marijuana for a treatment that she had, and she was embarrassed everywhere she went because it would smell up her purse, and she was always like a little ashamed to take it out. So she developed these lines of products that keep and contain the smell.
So she's got like pot purses.
Pot-free purses.
Really?
It's really awesome.
$6.7 billion, I think, last year, which
incredible.
Was 30% more than the year before.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I know the Trump administration is sort of Jeff
wavering,
Sessions
yeah.
has looked a little bit, but I don't think there's putting the genie back in the bottle.
No, and this isn't a trend that's going anywhere, and it'll just get larger. So the opportunities to develop businesses from this opportunity is enormous. It's like the green rush, right? This is our version of that moment in time. The other business that's huge is edibles. You know, Mindy Siegel, who's the owner of Hot Chocolate here in Chicago, a very well-known pastry chef and really made a name for herself. She has a whole line of edibles. You know, it's a big thing, Steve. That's
so it's
why
becoming a corporate thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
big
what
money.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so it will be legal here in Illinois.
Well,
wait, here's my question.
Medical is legal.
Right, I know. But will recreational marijuana be legal first, or will we have a budget first?
That, do you really want to take a bet on that?
I think you'd have to be high not to go with the pot.
I think you'd have to be high out of your mind.
Okay, so let's move on then. You mm-hmm. I mentioned the Trump administration, and I'm fascinated by Melania Trump in so many ways. There are so many different ways to do it. And, you know, I think I was talking to a political guy not too long ago up in the hallway who worked with President Obama. And I said, you know, in reporters, it's difficult because people think you're being anti-Trump, being like pro-Democrat or anti-Republican. But really, so many things about him are just extraordinary. Extraordinary in the way that it's never happened before. So,
and merit real conversation that isn't necessarily left versus right. A whole set of questions are being raised simply because we now have Melania and Donald in the White House.
And my concern is sometimes people who might have been a little more down the road are taking a little license that they shouldn't have because of that. Enter into all of that Melania Trump. And I hear people being critical of her for the way she's dressing and her sense of style. And I'm thinking, shut your face. You're not going to touch this woman, right? I mean, your sense of style, your elegance, if you're, you know, sitting here complaining about her, that kind of just shows jealousy in my book.
I'm going to even rewind the tape a little further than that.
Okay.
I don't like the conversation around first women and their wardrobe
anyway
at all. I think it should be off the table, right?
So now let's do that.
That said, there was one item of clothing, just one, that merits conversation not because of the fashion decision, but because of what it represented.
So, well, I would question the fashion because I really didn't like the jacket at all.
The coat.
It was a coat. So she wore it overseas.
She did.
And it cost?
In Italy, $51,000.
$51,000.
Which is more than the median income of many families in America.
So she was wearing a coat on a foreign visit that cost more than most or many,
Americans
if not most,
wait.
Americans make in a year.
Correct. And it was obvious. This wasn't a custom coat where you really wouldn't know that it had gold thread. It was like you could Google that thing.
That's
and
such
it
a good point. No, because
$51,000.
I see some of these suits or women in clothing, and I'm like,
you'd have no idea.
No idea.
Right. No, this one was a little in your face. So the question really is, was that a bad decision? Not so much not at all, in fact, from a fashion point of view, but purely because of what it represented on the part of the message that they have tried to put out to the Trump base, what they care about, what they stand for, their ability to see them and their problems and be their advocates. And meanwhile, there she is in this $51,000 coat.
Well, they've all said all along that they want to be their advocates, but they never said they wanted to be like them.
No. And,
right?
And in fact, there's a lot of data to support the fact that they kind of like the fact that Donald's a little flashy.
Right. I mean, we all know they've got hundreds of millions of dollars. And so,
aren't hiding that. But still, the equivalent that people are talking about is that there was a moment when Michelle Obama wore a pair of Lanvin sneakers, Lanvin being a high-end brand.
Thank you.
I did it. I have to. Right. I have to do that for you.
It's Chuck just Taylors? Such an, are they like Chuck Taylors?
No.
Okay,
Steve,
good to know.
No. That were $580 for the pair of sneakers that she wore in the very first weeks of the presidency on a trip. She was slammed for that.
Right.
Okay, so now $580 for a pair of sneakers. Now, you know, flash forward $51,000
for
a jacket. That's where we are.
Was it cold in Italy?
I don't know, Steve. If it was cold, I feel that there were other options.
Probably. All right. So what do you think about it? Mistake or not a mistake?
I think it was a mistake. I think the media has played on it too much because, to your point, there's a lot to talk about Melania. It's not all bad. There's the whole hand slap thing. There's a lot to talk about. This, in my opinion, was a bad choice for them.
She created her own distraction.
She didn't need it. Why would she want that narrative out there? And it was a conscious choice. You don't put on that coat without thinking about it first.
All right. She should have stayed home, had a couple of champagne popsicles. And...
you know, come on, Ivanka.
Ivanka Trump and her business was selling, right?
Yes.
On Memorial Day with the champagne popsicle.
Yes. And again, this is a circumstance in which lots of people were posting on social media about what to cook on Memorial Day and what kind of wine to drink and what to barbecue, because that's part of what people think when they think of Memorial Day weekend. But the question here is, if you put out a tweet from the Ivanka headquarters that suggests that the way to celebrate is champagne popsicles without first recognizing we are celebrating Memorial Day in recognition of those who have fallen, doesn't she have a higher standard at this point? She's in the White House. She's not just a member of the family.
I think it just shows it's another example of the fact that they are new to all of this.
Yes.
And things that would register... I mean, or maybe they're like, screw it, I'm not going to be afraid of everything,
right?
You know, because that's what it is in many ways. People don't say things because they're afraid of the reaction.
It could be. I think if I were giving her advice, I would say you should hold yourself to a higher standard of messaging because you are representing something that is a little more serious than
you were.
It's
not a higher standard. It's just a different standard.
Well
right?
said.
Yeah.
A different standard and a standard in which what you say could, in fact, move people to have greater recognition about the meaning of Memorial Day, and you miss that opportunity.
A standard of which don't want to get my dad in trouble. I might not see it, but that's what you have to do.
Yes.
I just looked outside. Did it just pour outside?
It looked like it was a huge flash. That was a little weird.
Everything's wet. That was the weirdest thing that's ever happened.
It was a little weird.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It's really
weird. I mean, it's...
Seriously, as Steve and I are sitting here, this entire street is now soaked, and it's raining.
Okay.
That was
well, that happens everywhere, but it just didn't happen like that.
No.
We've got less than a minute.
Yes.
Time to go down to Austin.
Oh, gosh. This is the greatest story. So there's a movie theater down in Austin called the Alamo Draft House that is quirky and a kind of cute chain and does a lot on social media. And what they did last week was had a big scandal, which is they held a screening or are holding a screening for the Wonder Woman premiere as a women's only event. Kind of cute.
How'd they spell women?
did you want to give that
no,
a try?
No, is it the normal way?
It was a normal way. Not like, you know, there was nothing political about it.
Okay.
They were trying to be, you know, let's do something fun and celebrate that Wonder Woman is back and empowering women. Well, the men were not so happy.
So men complained about
Oh, complained like you cannot imagine. The tweets, the frustration,
they wanted to see Wonder Woman?
No, because they knew, which is, I think, true, that if they had done, for example, a men's only screening of Thor, that there would have been some backlash for that.
Yeah, I used to be one of those guys.
Were you one of those guys?
I carried around my indignation more than back in the Kathy and Judy days.
Would we have been friends? In high school?
No, this was post high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, we wouldn't have been.
No,
it
really
would have been
so
absolutely
much.
Impossible. But the study in all of this is, and we do have to run, but the way the theater handled it, right?
Oh, the theater, it was sort of the way Second City would have handled it. Really quirky, funny, spontaneous responses, tongue in cheek, and recognizing the fact that it was sort of like, come on, guys. Come on. But it was a great story. And I think the other thing that this is showing, and you and I spoke about this the last time I was on, this whole gender issue, I think 5 years from now, this story wouldn't even emerge. I don't think we're going to have men's nights, women's nights. I think gender is that, you heard it here first, that fluid. We will look back on this story and go, remember in 2017 when we had that movie theater story?
All right, mark this digital
mark
file.
Mark this date.
Suzanne Muschin, listen to her at The Big Payoff at WGNplus.com. iTunes, just
Stitcher,
about everywhere, right?
Acast, everywhere you listen to podcasts.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. You're filling in for me next week a little bit,
I
right?
I am, two times, all Monday, right. Wednesday.
Work hard, do it well.
I will.
Thanks very much, Steve Alexander. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Kevin Grady's in the studio as well, an Allstate agency owner for 18 years now. And I know Allstate, I think they did it with USA Today, had their small business barometer out not too long ago. And Kevin is here to break down all the numbers for us. Welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you very much, sir.
So you've been at this for 18 years?
I've been doing this for 18 years, yes, sir.
And you didn't have a long commute to get here today, did you?
No, my office is down on the Gold Coast. I love the area.
All right, so tell me, because, you know, when I think of Allstate agents, I'm thinking of neighborhoods, suburbs, and things like that. You're certainly in a neighborhood, but is your practice different from someone, say, in Schaumburg because of your neighborhood? I mean, it seems like the Gold Coast would be a little different animal.
Yeah, it is a little bit, you know, because we write more condos and renters as opposed to maybe in the suburbs they're going to write more homes. But I insure the whole state. But, yeah, we do it is with a neighborhood agent. I try to, you know, I basically do Chicagoland, but I do the whole state, too.
Sure. How much of your business is kind of walk-in? In the neighborhood, they walk by and say, hey.
I don't really get a lot of walk-in business. Right. But the city business is more of people who want to be right on the phone. They want to do more online. They're too busy to stop in. The neighborhood agents do get more walk-ins than I do.
All right. So talk to me a little bit about what you're expecting this next year in small business and how it ties into the small business barometer.
You know, I feel like optimism is high on the barometer. Optimism is really high this year. I feel that my business, I'm having one of my best years ever. And I just feel right now the economy is really fostering small business. And the city of Chicago really fosters small business. You look at all the boutique restaurants, shops. I really feel like the city is just a mecca for small businesses.
Well, that's interesting. And I'm happy to hear you say that because you're kind of in the trenches of it all. One of the stories we're following this week is what is or is not happening in Springfield. You know, there have been all these budget problems for the past few years. And you're telling me you don't think that has a big impact on you as a Chicago business owner.
You know, for myself, it has, and obviously there's, you know, array of businesses out there. But for me, I don't look at it as a challenge. I look at it as an opportunity. So whenever I'm presented with a challenge, I look at it more as an opportunity and how can I get around it. And that's the challenge of owning a small business, and I really enjoy that.
So the barometer said, I think, that two-thirds of national business owners expect a good year, very optimistic. It's a good business year for them. How does that compare to Chicago? Is Chicago about the same?
Yeah, Chicago is about the same. And, you know, out of the city, Chicago had a very good optimism. And I really feel that people are optimistic. You know, you look out, there's so many angel investors out there, just to kind of throw that out there. You know, so there's a lot of, when you see that, and with all the things online, it's really fostering small business.
And so where do you think the good feeling in Chicago comes from? Is it a political thing? Is it in Chicago roots?
I think it's in the Chicago roots. You know, if you look at, you don't see all the box restaurants here per se. You see a lot of individual restaurants. You see a lot of individual boutique shops in the neighborhoods. And what makes Chicago unique is the neighborhoods and the boutiques and everything.
Right. And so you see an improvement this year. How has it changed in the past 18 years, what you do?
You know, I feel that with technology and innovation, it's gotten easier, and it's even, you can reach more people with the internet and email. And
yeah, but you know what? It's interesting you say that, because you reach them, but you might not touch them, right? When they were calling you when you started 18 years ago or stopping by, you had more personal contact. So that's got to be something you probably need to work at to foster, because that's a big part of your business.
It is. And, you know, you are correct. It's, you know, I don't see as many as my clients, but I still really try to be involved in the community.
And you have to do it in a different way, sort of.
Exactly.
Kevin Grady, Allstate agency owner. How do people find out more info for you?
KevinGrady@Allstate.com is my email, and my phone number is 312-274-9720.
Or State of Maple, right? Stop in.
Yes, sir.
Bring them a treat.
I would love to see him.
Thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.